We pray, Lord, you who work in all things for our good, work your great mystery in us and for us this day, that in everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, you might bring to fruition your good and holy purposes for our lives. Bless us and draw us ever closer to you through the power of your holy word. Amen. This morning we look at our third gospel lesson, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. How is your garden growing? Is it a good summer for your garden? Are the tomatoes ripe? There's a world of difference, isn't there, between pottering with a backyard garden and having 100 acres of a crop. One's much more serious than the other. And so if a few weeds appear in our backyard garden, well, no big deal. But when there's plight and devastation on a 100-acre crop, that can mean a person's livelihood. In Jesus' parable, he wasn't just talking about a few random weeds that happened to sprout up in someone's backyard garden. No, he was talking about an actual enemy that comes and deliberately sows thistles on top of the wheat. Now, why would anyone want to do that? There's only one purpose. So that the thistles grow up and grow strong and suck all the nutrients from the soil and choke and kill the valuable wheat. What a terrible account. Who would do that to a farmer and destroy his livelihood like that? But Jesus wasn't just talking about farmers, was he? No, he was talking about this world and how his kingdom rests in this world. And there is Satan sowing evil people and evil works, all to choke out the family of believers, to destroy the kingdom of God, to do battle against God and all that is holy and righteous and good. We have an enemy. And just like a farmer, if he goes out and sees a field full of thistles rather than wheat, he might just say, "Oh, let's be done with the whole thing, plow it under, kill it all." So sometimes we might be discouraged with this world as we look around and see the handiwork of Satan causing misery and suffering on every hand. And we might end up throwing up our arms and saying, "Oh, so much evil. Who can be saved?" It does get depressing at times. But just so that we're not so doom and gloom all the time, we do need to acknowledge that there are a lot of beautiful things in this world. Beautiful people and beautiful places and wonderful times. The joy and love and hope and peace that God gives us in this world, those are all gifts from God to remind us again just how loving our Heavenly Father truly is. And yet, this is a very hard place to live too. Much wickedness and sin. So much violence and abject poverty. Brutal abuse. Lovelessness and stealing, fraud, covetousness, lying, immorality on every hand. Oh, the darkness grows. A lot of people go to bed every single night with broken hearts or broken lives and maybe even cry themselves to sleep. That's what leads some to say, "Is there even a God? Or maybe he's not in control. Maybe Satan really is in control of this world and he's just in control of the next world." Wrong. And yet it's easy to understand how people just in their own limited logic come to that conclusion. From the bloodthirsty ISIS in Iraq to the slum-infested villages of Africa, to the heroin epidemic in America, from the greed of Wall Street and the smut of Main Street, from the broken lives, loveless marriages, and poisonous pornography, and child abuse rampant, it might be very easy for us to wonder, Lord, where are you? Are you even in control? We live in a nation that neither fears God nor the government. Wicked people have destroyed this world, and then we turn around and blame God for it. That's a height of hypocrisy. Are we on the brink of total chaos? Or is it really the end of the world? We're poised, waiting to find out. But Jesus said that the farmer's field stood for the world. The enemy planted weeds in order to destroy the wheat, but the field still belongs to the farmer, to God. This world is God. Satan is not in control. God is. Whether we can see it firsthand or not, the world is God's field, and he is in control of it. Every moment of every day. And that changes the complexion of the battle, doesn't it? Life would be very, very different if Satan truly had control of all things in this world. It would so much more resemble hell then. But notice in Jesus' parable, the servants come to the farmer and ask, do you want us to go and pull the weeds up? Notice they're asking the one in control of this world, not the one who planted the seed, the weeds. The servants were anticipating the logical answer. Yeah, pull them up, to rip them out of the ground. Let's get rid of those weeds and start all over again. What a mess there is. The weeds shouldn't be allowed to choke off the precious wheat and to kill it. What will we end up with at the end of the day? Maybe it would just be better to suffer the loss of the first planting and the cost of a second planting and begin all over again. But the farmer tells the servants, no. No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you will root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Is that interesting? The farmer so loves the wheat that he had planted. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't just talking about wheat. The wheat are the children of God, you and me. God could have just started all over when Adam and Eve fell into sin. When they first took that bite of the forbidden fruit, God could have said, I am done with you. Let's destroy everything and start all over again with a new creation. And yet he so loved Adam and Eve and all of their future descendants. His goal was to share heaven with them. And not even Satan and his wicked works would turn him from that goal. God also had a prime opportunity after Jesus died on the cross and rose and ascended back up into heaven. He could have ended all unbelievers at that point. Lord, rip them out. Wouldn't this world be so much better if there were just believers here, Christians? Life would be so much easier. But think of it. For most of us, if we follow our family tree back, there may be a big chunk of it that were unbelievers. My ancestors came from Norway. Before the name of Jesus was spoken in Norway, they were worshiping the gods of the forest. Had Jesus just decided, okay, I'm taking all believers off the face of the earth, I never would have been born. I never would have been able to look forward to spending eternity in paradise. No, God had a different plan. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But when God says, no, you may root up the wheat, let them grow together, that has big ramifications for us. What do you mean grow together? It's not as though we're just sharing planet Earth until Judgment Day. No, these weeds have an agenda. They're there to choke off the wheat, to destroy us. And so we're living side by side with our spiritual enemies. God's kingdom in a very unbelieving and hostile world. Our unbelieving enemies and friends think it's strange that we don't plunge into every sin that they do. That we don't follow after them in all kinds of wickedness and that. The unbelieving world comes at us with all kinds of lies. Come on, do what you want. After all, isn't the whole purpose of living to have fun? That Bible stuff, who really knows what that says? It's so ancient, who can really trust it? Trust your own instincts. The lies come at us. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. You're the master of your fate. Don't take second seat to any God or any religion or anything. The lies just come non-ending. And that's all the handiwork of Satan, the father of lies, who always wants to pull us back into the darkness. We who once were weeds by nature, but by that glorious gospel were recreated into wheat, Satan is right there to try and, like Judas, get us to renounce our faith, turn away from our Savior, and become weeds again, only fit for the fire. And so God warns us not to fall from our faith, not to fall for Satan's lies, but to have the Word of God in our hearts and lives. And there we see not only the love of the Lord, but the power of the Lord. That in the midst of such a dark and wicked world, he can preserve our faith to the very end. Paul writes to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. God unleashes his power in this dark and wicked world through the power of his word and sacrament. That very same gospel of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising for our sins, it's that gospel that has brought us to him and made us children, and it's that very same gospel that's going to preserve and protect us to the very end. Satan knows that. That's why his first and foremost temptation is, don't read your Bibles. Whatever you do, don't read your Bibles. And don't go to church. Because if he can break that gospel supply line, he knows he can get us to wither on the vine, to rot in the field, to revert back to weeds. Because he knows that the power of God is infinitely more powerful than him and his lies. And that the power and grace of God is able to make us strong and stout and endure in spite of how much the thistles prick in this world and cause us wound and harm. God is our strength and our stay, an ever-present help in trouble for those who take their shelter in him. We are his wheat. In him, we are safe. Safe in the middle of this war zone. And that's why our heart and our mind must be centered on him, to stay in him, in his word. For there is our safe haven, and there is none other. He comes to protect us, and he does his job very well. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let Satan try what he might, God is always there to thwart his purposes and to keep us to remain strong in our faith. Ultimately, we're just passing through this world. This isn't our end goal. God hasn't planted us here just to have us rot in the field. No, there is going to be a holy harvest of all of God's people. The sickle will swing, and judgment day will be there in an instant in the valley of decision. For the day of wickedness is ripe for judgment. And God will protect his people. He will be there to preserve us and bring us to himself. And everything this world has a death grip on that they value so much will turn to dust right within their hands on that day called judgment. And it is coming. The darker the world is, the brighter the light of the Lord shines. There is only one Savior. He died on the cross and rose in victory to wash us clean in his forgiveness. And in him we have life forever in heaven, not the fires of hell. We live in dark times. Muslims are killing Christians more and more these days. The 21st century martyrs and their blood cries out to the Lord, how long, how long? And God calls for us to stand firm, to grow strong, to keep our eyes on him. Judgment day is the harvest. Grow strong in the sun and be ready for that day. For it'll be there when people least expect it. But it will come. He has fulfilled his promises. And notice, while we wait, he calls for us to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He plants us as his garden, but we're not a flower garden. We're a garden of produce with a bountiful crop to his glory, in spite of how wicked these days are. He's produced good works for us to do each and every day until he takes us home to be with him in glory. How are we doing? Do we eagerly look forward to bearing a bumper crop of good work for our gracious God to praise his name? Not fearful of how dark and dismal this world is, but rather rejoicing on how bountiful and beautiful our Savior is. Because he is our Savior, we are saved. The world is so evil, but will anyone be saved? Sure. The children of God, he is just that strong. He preserves and protects us in his grace, and so we are not consumed. All unbelievers will be destroyed. Destroyed by their own wickedness and destroyed by the hand of God when he comes in judgment. But he promises us that very same hand of God will take us to be with him in glory. And so that's what our hearts yearn for, not what this world can offer us. And so our hearts are at peace. We are safe. We are loved by our Lord. He has promised it, and he will do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that each and every day you use for your good and holy purposes. Satan cannot fill us with fear as we stay close to you, as we tune our ears and our heart and our soul to your divine word. Bless us and strengthen us that the lies of Satan might have nothing to do with us. Bless us now and forever in Jesus, our living Lord. Amen.